Good evening, everyone. How are you all? So today, Venerable Pra Mahachanchai, Venerable Pra Vithiya, and Missy Reddy, and Kim came from Bananoon to participate with our Dhamma activities. And you may be surprised to see my face like this. Just watching Bruce Willis Die Hard movies and to get your attention. So with my cut in the face, it seemed to be more interesting. I just have accident yesterday. Let's try to fix the roof for the gentlemen, for the boys to sleep in the train. Even though we are really careful, but accident can happen at any time. Luckily, I have really flat nose. So the chisel just passed my nose. Just a little bit cut, not that bad. So for this evening, because we're talking about keep the mind in balance, and I can see someone draw the pictures on this whiteboard between angels and Batman. Scale walking on a rope. And what is that one? One plus and one minus?
Emotion and logic.
Emotion and logic. Good. Thank you so much. So since you already put a few sketch on drawing on the boards, maybe we're going to discuss that why we need to keep the mind in balance and how to do it. And just thinking that maybe use some movie clip and slide presentation can give us a clearer understanding that what can be involved, what topics or what qualities can help to keep the mind in balance. So maybe I would like to invite some of your friends to put some video on the screen. All right. The first video clip is about 12 minutes.
Experiments on Buddhist monks from Tibetan monasteries to assess the effects of meditation on the body's metabolism. His research has provided a remarkable insight into the ways the mind can alter the functioning of the body.
what we found with respect to their oxygen consumption, in simple meditation, they decrease their metabolism upwards of 64%. And this was the largest decrease in oxygen consumption that was ever recorded in experiments by a simple restful procedure.
Carefully monitoring a form of Dzogchen meditation known as Tung Mo, the yoga of inner heat, Benson came up with even more intriguing results.
What we found initially in Tummo was that monks were able to increase their skin temperature in environments of 50 to 60 degrees Fahrenheit.
But that was just the beginning.
Well, what we found in these monks in very cold environments of 40 degrees Fahrenheit, wrapping themselves in wet sheets, these monks astoundingly could increase their temperature enough to get the sheets steaming and dry the sheets. You and I would go into uncontrollable shivering and perhaps even die of too low blood pressure. They were quite comfortable there simply by performing their Tummo meditational heat yoga.
When asked how they do it, the monks describe relaxing, focusing on their breathing. They picture air coming in and out as a kind of energy. They visualize it as a flame, a fire coursing through the chest. Dr. Benson has shown that anyone who performs the initial steps of meditation can have a significant effect on their body. Meditation can help the treatment of stress-related health problems, such as anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, and cardiac irregularities. But can Dr. Benson's evidence about the physical power of Buddhist meditation help us understand what happened to the mummy of Spiti Valley?
Learning about Dr. Benson's work has given me a glimpse of the tremendous powers that the Tibetan mummy might have possessed. If they could actually dry icy sheets using heat visualization techniques, I wonder if the mummy could have dried his body the same way.
Could this really be the explanation for the mummy's death? Could it really be that he literally dried himself out? In an attempt to find answers to those questions, Bruno Tonello takes his pioneering digital x-rays of the Tibetan mummy to Ian Watt, one of London's radiologists.
Dr. Herbert Benson, as the founder of the Harvard Mind-Body Center, you've obviously devoted much of your life to studying and understanding the relationship between the mind and the body. Yet when the average layperson hears things like mind over matter, mm-hmm. I mean, they usually probably just associate it with a saying or maybe something that has an effect on people who really aren't that sick. I mean, you in turn have found something very different in terms of the power of the relationship between mind and body.
Oh, there's no question but that the mind profoundly affects the body. For example, my initial work going back 25 years with the relaxation response.
Right.
Here, the simple act of thinking a certain way, sitting, for example, focusing your breathing, and on each out-breath repeating a word, a sound, prayer, a phrase, or even a muscular activity, and then passively disregarding the everyday facts when they come to mind, everyday thoughts when they come mm-hmm. to mind, with a return to the repetition. That leads to a set of remarkable bodily changes. Decreased metabolism, decreased heart rate, decreased rate of breathing, decreased blood pressure, slower brain waves, all of which are a mind-body effect.
Well, let's talk about the relaxation response. This is a pioneering work, which I guess you were really almost the first who underscored the relationship of stress to illness, that stress either causes or makes virtually all illnesses worse.
Actually, it was Dr. Hans Serrier
well,
in Montreal, who pointed out that relationship. relationship, what we were able to say is that the body possesses a response opposite to the stress response, which is the relaxation response, and we can use mind-body, this mind-body reaction to counteract the numerous diseases which are caused by stress.
Now, give us a little bit better understanding of what the relaxation response is. I mean, it's more than something you would get the salutary effect of rest, for example.
Oh, sure. The best way to understand the relaxation response is to look at its counterpart, the stress response, also called the fight or flight response. When we undergo any change, when there's need for behavioral adjustment, change, there's an internal secretion of adrenaline and noradrenaline, which leads to anxiety, leads to mild and moderate depression, leads to anger and hostility, influences high blood pressure, cardiac irregularities, all forms of pain, infertility, sleep, PMS, hot flashes, sexual performance. They are all affected by these hormones and the fight or flight response. The relaxation response is the physiologic opposite to the fight or flight response, and it's characterized by the decreased metabolism, blood pressure, heart rate, slower brain waves that counteract the harmful effects of stress.
So if I was a caveman, for example, and I saw a saber-toothed tiger, the flight or fight response would be important to me, though, all those conditions, because they would tell me what to do. But in the absence of saber-toothed tigers...
It still has its effect on your body, and it's socially inappropriate to lash out at a person who is giving you a hard time or, for example, to start running around the table. So these hormones take their effects on our body.
How do I induce the relaxation response?
There are two basic steps necessary to evoke the relaxation response. The first is a repetition. It can be traditionally a prayer, but it could be a word, a sound, a phrase, or even a repetitive muscular activity. Secondarily, everyday thoughts come to mind. They should be expected, but when they come, you simply say, oh well, and passively return to the repetition. In other words, to passively ignore the everyday thoughts when they occur, and then return to the repetition.
This is, again, no more complicated than chanting.
Chanting, a mantra, meditation, the Lamaze breathing technique, yoga, progressive muscular relaxation, autogenic training, all of these evoke the relaxation response.
Now, I understand generally is that if you ask people today what's their number one health concern related to work, stress is right at the top of the list. It's no longer, you know, getting a rusty nail going through my work boot or a brick falling on my safety helmet. I mean, stress is endemic.
That's right.
In our society now. I mean, what does this suggest, your findings, about what we should be doing, not simply in terms of medical, treat the symptoms of stress, but societally, to reduce stress?
Stress comes about from any situation that requires behavioral adjustment. In other words, any change is stressful. What we have to do is, and this is often difficult, to try and stabilize things a bit, because it's the change that's causing the stress. Short of that, which is exceptionally difficult in our society, we have to learn how to protect ourselves. So people should be eliciting the relaxation response by a method they believe in on a daily basis.
That this should become part of our day-to-day life.
And in the old world, it was. People would pray in the morning, pray in the evening. There would be quiet periods in the day. As our world has become so frenetic, so more frenetic and excitatory and changing, rather than stepping back, we get caught up on it and further the process.
Is that change, and therefore that stress, in your view, responsible for an endemic increase in diseases?
I believe so.
Cancer?
There is no relationship between cancer and stress. That is
really?
Causation. No, but stress does affect the immune system. So the course of a cancer, after it begins, might be...
that the immune system doesn't have the strength.
But there are many diseases that are related to stress in a major way. Hypertension, anxiety, insomnia, infertility. And the proof of this is, first of all, the hormonal changes. Secondarily, the results we're getting. We can cure 75% of insomniacs now. 36% of our infertile couples become pregnant within 6 months after going through our program.
Through the relaxation
response. The relaxation response. Well, it's a lot of cognitive work, you know, stress management. We can treat the symptoms of cancer and AIDS. Frequently, in the early stages of cancer, it's not the cancer causing the symptoms, but your worry about being a cancer. The very words, you have cancer, changes you. And frequently, symptoms will come from that. Or you're HIV positive, you may feel fine.
And as soon as you're diagnosed,
symptoms, we know how to treat them.
And if you were even saying that when I get a doctor's appointment, I normally feel better.
Exactly.
Just knowing that I'm going.
Or you're sitting there and suddenly in the doctor's office and suddenly the symptoms disappear.
Now, you would be the last to discount the tremendous advances that traditional medicine made in all fields, pharmacological, surgical. How do we find that balance? How do we get practitioners whose esteem and you know, status flows from I'm a brilliant surgeon or I'm a brilliant radiologist to understand the non-technical, the non-procedural side of medicine?
My experience at Harvard Medical School and with the doctors I work with in Boston has been a ready acceptance of this because we all recognize our limitations and would welcome how patients could help themselves. There isn't a surgeon who isn't worried when a patient says, I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, many will not operate on such people. So we're preparing people for surgery now.
Our next generation of medical practitioners, you
even
think will bring this
because
as part of their baggage?
The science is there. And even the practicing physicians now, once they see the data, are
it's the light. We can do this.
So just now is a video presentation. Video clip interview, that pioneer in my body relation, and really famous, the author who wrote a book about relaxation response. Many years ago, I got this book from one of your university friends. I think that should be more than 15 years ago. She studied nurse, and she presented me this book, and then we did a lot of research. And this is just in order to help us clarify what is the benefit of what we are doing in a scientific field. Maybe you can dim the light a bit, please. Better? Okay. Yes, congratulations to the person who draw this one. You have the same mind. Yeah. Keep the mind in balance, not to fall over. Just some Dhamma talk, the Buddha's teachings seem to fit in with the balance of the mind. And the famous one we call Pochangkaparitta. And this is a very common practice for Theravada monks. Whenever someone is sick, they invite the monks to go over there and do some chanting and blessing. Hopefully, the patients will get better. But unfortunately, she passed away. And all the patients that I saw and did chanting, they all passed away. And all these monks too. But they will pass away. So nobody get out of the hospital. Even though the common practice in Theravada tradition said this Pochangkaparitta helped the Buddha and many enlightened monks to get recovered really soon, that is only in the book. In reality, we all die. So in that case, why we keep that tradition? Visit the patients who are so sick and do this chanting. Because there's some mechanism behind this means. The Pochangkaparitta has something to talk about. Free the mind at the end, the last minute of life. Be peaceful and passive. So we're going to discuss this. in one place where the Buddha stayed in Savatthi, he gave a talk on the fire discourse, which is very different when he stayed in Varanasi. He gave a fire sermon. This fire discourse is about the activity of the mind. Similar to our winter retreat in July, many of you enjoy the fire, right? So that time, the Buddha said that, you know, somebody tried to stop this fire and they throw the dry wood. Is it possible to stop the fire? And somebody like to restart the fire that almost finished. And then they put the wet wood into it. You think you get the fire restart again? So, in both cases, what does it mean? The Buddha has said that the fire, the big fire that already happened, compared with our very active mind, hyperactive mind, he or she has so much energy until we experience that stress, anxiety, or worry. Compare like the big fire is too active. Oppositely, the fire that's almost finished. Compare with the people who gone under depression, feel hopeless, dead end, no motivation, no self-esteem, too passive. In reality, we have both qualities, and if we are able to put both of them in balance, that is what we say, that be active and relax at the same time. So if we are able to be active and not overactive, to relax but not to relax, then we are able to manage whatever we need to do in life. So in that teaching, the Buddha say there are seven words include to keep balance. The very first one that we need always is mindfulness, sati. Mindfulness has to be here all the time in order to keep the mind active and relaxed. Now the qualities, first we call Dhamma Vijaya, analysis, selection. Second, Viriya, effort. And third, Piti, joy. Next is to relax, and then concentration and equanimity of the mind. Some of you might have seen the big scale in the monastery in the past few years, but this is another opportunity to refresh our understanding. People who already experience hyperactive mind, very active and very stressed and very worried, the Buddha is saying that do not practice analysis and selection. Do not practice effort. Do not practice exciting, because a person has no mindfulness. It's like to put a dry wood into the fire to stop the fire. It is impossible. It just makes it worse. For example, before the body night, many of you prepare yourself very well, correct? And some of you already nervous, can't sleep, very anxious, worried. And then if your friends keep on saying that you must have plan B, okay? Plan B in case something wrong. And if plan B didn't work, you better plan C. Yeah? And in case some performance sick, you plan D. Okay? And in case, a person who already worry and you keep on saying that in case, the person may explain this very stressful, very worried, very anxious, can't sleep, can't eat. Before body night looks so good. During the body night looks so skinny, so tired, so worried. After body night gone, get fat again. So overstress.
So we always say that when you're so much worried, you can't keep on planning and thinking. So we're going to discuss about this in detail. Opposite direction. Yeah? When some people already experience that no more energy, very lazy, wake up in the morning, why me have to go to school? Why me have to make a cup of coffee for my apartment friend? What do you call roommate? Why me have to put his or her shoes into the shoes rack all the time? Why me have to pick up his pen, not under pen yet, his clothes? Why me have to clean the toilet and bathroom all the time? So why me, poor me, we feel quite depressed, quite passive, lazy, and quite hopeless. At that moment, the Buddha is saying that do not think about relax. Do not think about concentration of the mind. Do not practice equanimity. Because it's like put the wet wood into the fire that's almost finished. It's going to stop the fire. So it's not recommended to practice that three words. In particular, because the person has no mindfulness. So now we're going to discuss that why the Buddha did not recommend that when we feel so depressed, feel so low, feel so lazy, passive, and don't want to do anything. He said that we need to practice the opposite directions. Whenever we feel hopeless, we need these three words: analysis, selection, effort, and joy, to counteract depression or less motivation or really passive. If you wake up in the morning and your face look like this, poor me. That means that we don't want to do anything. Then that moment we may need consider to help ourselves, because we can't allow the mind to get involved with this emotion too long, because it's not really productive. So really first thing is seek out for friends. Good friends is necessary all the time. Kaladamitta. Whenever we feel low, you know that we does not have any motivation or energy, then consider good friends. And Univats itself is a good example of good friends. Because all the problems come to this world, come together with solution. But we have no energy to search. So good friends help to search for the way out. So good friends help to make sure that we listen to something or we read something. And this is the benefit that we say Dhamma talk. Dhamma talk gives us the benefits of information. We heard about this before. We read about that before. So this kind of memory is like a treasure house in our brain. In some critical situation, this memory may come up as a plan B or plan C. So we can see that analysis and selection can't happen without enough information. And every day, actually, we analyze the situation all the time. Like today, from Bandanoon to here, we wake up in the morning. We calculate the time, that what time we should have breakfast. And then Kim came from her house to pick up the monks at 8:30. So we know that we have more time to come back, to come to Sydney to have lunch in New Town, one of the vegetarian restaurants. And we know that we have plenty of time, then we better stop at Big W. Did a little bit of shopping. And you still have plenty of time to come all the way to New Town and then have lunch. And we see that, oh, we still have plenty of time. So after lunch, we went to the ocean to see the dolphins jump up and down. And then we just did a walk. We still have plenty of time. Bondi Beach until Tamarama Beach. Just show the monks and nuns. And we look, oh, we still have plenty of time. So we went to
art gallery of New South Wales, correct? And we say, oh, today they close at 10. We should have plenty of time to see all the art, but they close. And we look, oh, we see, have plenty of time before 7 o'clock. We went to what they call Macquarie Share. And then we just take a nap or just sit meditation. And we look at the time now, we didn't have enough time. So Kim find a shortcut and arrive here. So analyze this. We have to analyze the traffic, the situation, and select the best action. So every day, we always analyze. Before we come here, we already analyze what is the temperature in Sydney. We can't wear a lot of warm clothes. It's too hot. So without my finesse, we can't analyze well. And if we don't analyze well, we have really bad selection. Make a bad choice, and then we got headache all the time. So analysis and selection always come together because of being very mindful, mindfulness. Like during the winter retreat time, people knows that in some of you have been freezing cold, and some of you say, no, never get cold. And then you experience at night can't sleep. The second, after analysis and selection, then we got the plan. And we put the plan into action. And you can see that sometimes you plan yourself very well. That I would like to be healthy, so I'm going to go exercise every day. I need to build up my biceps and triceps. So go to the mall, buy the, what do you call, dumbbell. First day, correct, dumbbell?
Dumbbell.
First day one. Day two, maybe day one, 30 times. Day two, 20 times. Day three, 10 times. And day four, never pick it up. So plan really well, but no effort, no actions. So this is a problem. Then you have to go to the gymnasium and be a membership and pay a lot of money. And then you don't want to go at all, but you're sorry of yourself, you spend the money already, you have to go there. So this is how the indirect technique to keep our efforts to make our plan or ideas start or happen. You can see without good friends, it is impossible, very difficult, because you have a good plan. You know that meditation is so good. Yes, we know it really well, but sorry, no time. So good friends can help make sure that the plans come into action. That is why the word effort comes together with perseverance, determination, even braveness, persistence. So all these beautiful words come together with good plan in order to make it really happen. Yeah, you need to exercise to be busy to exercise, but when you see the monks go down to the wombat pools, oh, so nice to go down to the wombat pools as well. So this is a kind of group support in order to make our plan into actions. Yes, and come to listen to the Dhamma talk like this and to practice meditation in order to keep or to kickstart our effort. Make the good idea into action, we need to discuss about willpower. We must have willpower. Otherwise, we can't put the plan into actions. And willpower comes because it's so interesting. And we must have something to inspire us. Go to exercise in the morning, or go to a jogging in the evening, or do some a little bit of chanting, or sit meditation 5 minutes a day. All of this can happen because of this willpower. And then joy need to come in order to counteract depression, to counteract very passive, lazy, or low self-esteem. The most important thing to counteract being so depressed is this exciting and positive, joyful feelings. And joy needs to happen in three occasions. Before we do anything, during we do it, and even after it. So if people are able to produce inner joy almost constantly like this, then it can uplift the energy of the mind.
people who feel so depressed and does not want to do anything because they can't see beautiful things in life. They can't see the benefit of doing. Not joyful, feel bored. That is how they just feel that it is dead end. So joy before we do it. Why? How can we find joy before we do it? Like go went to the body night, winter retreat, or even your body night. Before you join in the body night performance, joyful. Why feel joyful? Be excited before that. Because you have seen many body nights before, correct? Then you feel that it's good thing, it's fun. So you feel already excited that you just enroll yourself to be a dancer on the stage. And then they call you for practice. So during that time, you feel joyful even though you can't dance, follow them. You just act like that. Mm-hmm. But so joyful, so much fun. And after the body night finish, then you still feel joyful, feel proud that you did something beautifully for your friends. So joy can happen in this way and should happen in three times, including joy from the practice of meditation. Joy, the practice of meditation happens because you see the benefit that what's going to have if you practice meditation, calm and relax. And during the practice of meditation, like the beginning of these sessions, joy happens because we are able to make the mind stop running around. And when the mind stops running around, whenever the mind is free from distraction of worry and stress, we feel quite nice. So joy happens because successfully we are making it happen. And after finished meditation, we still feel joy that we did it, we make it, even though the mind is not calm 100%. Yes, whatever activities that can produce this energy of joy, happy feelings, consider it. Take it more often in order to counteract depression, feeling low, feeling lonely, feeling hopeless. So anytime when you feel hopeless, feel low, never stay alone. Find something else to do, like joy you do, but like this. Be more active, like the volunteer work, for example. Then you can see that you can make good use of your time, your energy, to help somebody to find their happiness. Now, the second thing to balance the mind, the opposite direction. When the mind is too stressful, the mind is hyperactive, too active, so much worry until you can't do anything. The first one, depressed, you have plenty of time, but you don't want to do anything. This second one, you like to do so many things, but you don't have enough time. Your friends keep on saying to you, you know, Reina, go exercise, it's good. I know, but let me finish cooking first. Reina, you know, meditation is so cool. I know, let me do washing first. When I come to practice meditation, I know, let me go for party first. I like to do everything, but I don't have much time. So I become stressed out. This person have too much energy and say that not enough time. So the mind is never run down, never lack of energy at all. So when the mind is too much energy, they may need to consider the three qualities to counteract. First, relax, because the mind is like this, a big flame, fire. Learn to relax. In Pali language, we call pasati, relax. We know that there are so many things to do, and every time you go for shopping, a long list of shoppings, from Big W, Kohl's, David Jones, Bunnings, Home Hardware, whatever. So you have long list, but you have limited time. So first thing, maybe you have to relax first. Maybe before you put any ideas into your shopping list, relax. And this is why people practice meditation. The meditation retreat in the monastery is just opportunity for people to relax. And one thing to consider about relax is that stay away from distraction. Yes, in Bandanoon, stay away because it's really far from the city. There are less distraction. There's no David Jones over there. And some mobile phone in connection is no good. So you can't really get your SMS or check your Facebook. And worse than that, the monk says, switch off everything so you can relax. No distraction. And second, consider with nature. Stay nearby the mountains, under the trees, see the kangaroos job hopping, jumping, and see the wombats coming, see the birds, see the cat. All this Mother Nature seems to give us a very powerful relaxation response, which is really different when we see a high-rise building. We may not feel that relaxed like we see the mountains. We see the waterfall, see the lake, the pond, the running creek, or even a music, soft music, instead of chanting in the monastery. So there are many other techniques that we can find relaxed, including Tai Chi exercise. Some of your friends still here. So consider walking, jogging, swimming, yoga, Tai Chi, gardening, anything that can help the mind to relax. If you feel that you practice Tai Chi and feel relaxed really well, do it regularly. I didn't press anything here. I think projector start to relax now. Yeah, consider something that can help her to relax. And one important thing is that once you know it and you try to make it happen regularly, then your body will provide that mechanism until you feel that long time ago when you were stressed, you have to sing a few songs to relax. But now you can sing only one song and relax, or even one sentence and relax. How's about that? That means the mechanism already become useful and we become professional to relax ourselves. And that is why the old English saying that when you get nervous, like me, stand in front of you, my legs keep on shaking. So I just take a few deep breaths and then start to relax. So it shows about the skillful practice. If you feel that you go for a walking in the morning just for 5 or 10 minutes, you become more relaxed, do it. Kim's husband always go for a walk in the morning, and that is his relaxation and meditation. Some of you may consider go to put water in your gardens for 15 minutes and relax. Some of you may feel that if I go for a swim for only 10 minutes, feel much better. Some of you may say that if I get the guitar and sing some song that nobody understands at all, and you feel relaxed, do it. So this is something that we should make it professional in order to maximize the benefit that's going to happen to us. Thank you. Relaxation is the cause of concentration of the mind. When we are too nervous, when we are too anxious, when we are too excited, we can't really focus our mind. There's so millions of things to do. Lorena participated in the body night sketch. So what did you do there?
Scriptwriting.
So you asked them to perform?
Yeah.
According to your sketch?
Kind of.
Yep. So some of them may not be able to do like what you ask them to do. And there's so many other things that you need to do, so many other things that you need to correct, and so many other words that can say, so many other sentences, so many performances. But we have limited time. So Rena have to find some relax first. And then concentrate. Focus on what the person can do in that limited time. So we can see the relaxation kickstart, focus the mind, concentrate. Not to be worried about the other things. Just concentrate on whatever we are able to do. Focus the mind onto it. So if you have really long shopping list, but you have only half an hour for shopping, then you may have to focus what I can do in this limited time. So that is what we say, samadhi or concentration of the mind. And this is a beautiful benefit for those people who spare some time in every day to practice concentration of the mind. Let the mind exercise to come back and focus on the object that we would like the mind to be with. Like in the beginning of the sessions, we train the mind. Do not go to the future. Don't go to the past. Let the mind stay in the present moment. We train the mind to obey us. We train the mind to listen to us. We tell the mind now stay focused with the breath. In 10 minutes of our meditation, we train this mind. If we are able to train the mind regularly until the mind starts to obey, then we are able to make good use of this mind. Focus on the project that we are doing. Do not be worried about the other things. Focus on this issue, not to be worried about the other issues. So we can see that this quality can help to counteract being so restless. Next, equanimity of the mind. The word equanimity in Pali language called ubekha. So those who are so restless, worried, and so stressful need to consider this quality. Equanimity, mental equilibrium, learn to let go. So equanimity, some people may mistranslate to saying that ignore everything. Actually, equanimity does not mean ignoring. Equanimity means ready to act at any time. But now, don't act. Don't do anything. Don't touch it. Because things seem to be going very well. Like this slide, the dog hurt the sheep. If the sheep walk into the wrong direction, the dog need to bark and run around in order to get the sheep into the right direction. If the whole sheep walk into the right direction, the dog does not need to bark or run. Because if he bark around, the sheep may get excited and change direction. So the dog still keep on watching the sheep, ready to react at any time when the sheep went into the wrong direction. Similar to driving the cars in a motorway, many times, Den Kim need to drive the monks from Sydney to Bandung or to any other places. Whenever we get into the motorway, Kim will set the cruise control, correct? Set the cruise controls at 150 km. Sorry, only 110. And then she don't need to push the brake or the clutch or anything. She just hold the power steering, correct? Steering wheel. She don't need to touch anything because now the car head to the right direction and the speed is so good and the traffic is no. So everything is running smoothly. That, and she just hold the steering wheel. And her mind is in equanimity. She let go, no need to adjust anything. But at the same time, she's ready to react if the traffic become more or something happen along the road. She's ready to release from the cruise control, push the brake or turn the wheel. Everything smooth again, then just, okay, equanimity. Don't touch it. Then the mind is in peace. So equanimity of the mind, it means that the other practice is already going good. Factors, conditions already good. Things going to happen accordingly. Like we cook the food, you put the rice cooker, you put the rice, put the right amount of water, plug in, turn switch on. You don't need to do anything, correct? Just be aware that now it's cooking. We don't need to touch it, not need to open the lid, check all the time it's cooked or not, until it's the right time, it's finished. So this is what we call equanimity of the mind. It means we still really aware and very mindful. Ready to act, ready to adjust, ready to readjust at any time. And the last one, in order to keep
the mind in balance between very active and relaxed is our sati, mindfulness. Like this little puppy, he practice great deal of mindfulness because every step he, if he's not mindful, fall off. Every step very mindful. So this mindfulness involved with many things. He or she need to be aware of his or her weight. Correct? He put the right foot. There are four legs, how you call the front leg and the right leg and the back leg. Have to be very mindful, calculate, analyze it first, and select an effort. Maintain the effort and joyful, not feel hopeless and fall down. Joyful, happy to do it. At the same time, relax, and concentrate the mind. If everything going all right, economy, don't touch it, don't change it. So need to practice that, and all that beautiful qualities can happen from this word. Being very mindful, sati, mindfulness. Again, mindfulness is a quality which is the most important thing in Buddhist practice. Without mindfulness, there's no calmness. Without mindfulness, we have really bad analysis, and we make a wrong decision. You see a really handsome boy, keep on smiling to you all the time. And he keep on smiling at you in the morning before classroom, before lunch, and before the university finish. He smile to you all the time. So without mindfulness, oh, he must love me. Have to be very, very mindful, analyze why he keep on smiling to me. Analyze the situation first. Oh, eventually, you know that he smile to everyone. Next, in Madanun itself, there are three, what do you call, hostel, where people have some mental problems. There are three places in the Madanun village. And sometimes you drive the car past the town. There's one man. He always lie down on the footpath and like this, and smiling to everyone. And we have the hands, everybody. We thought that, oh, he must love the monks so much because he's smart to the monks and wave the hand all the time. But eventually he waved to everybody. So in the evening he walked back to the hospital. So analysis, being aware, is very important. That's how we need to exercise these qualities of being mindful, being aware, and that is the beautiful things of the practice of meditation. This chart refers to one of the Buddha's talks of anapanasati, mindfulness on breathing. Because if you ask the question that how, what is a good way to practice mindfulness, we can say that refer to the Buddha's talk. One of the best way to practice being mindful is watch the flow of breath. Be aware of the breath. And what happened? You practice breathing techniques so often. Say that practice breathing techniques so often, it's going to help to be mindful of the four foundations of mindfulness. Some of you may heard about this word we call satipatthan, which is about the vipassana meditation. So being mindful of the breath, you are going to be mindful of the other four things we're going to discuss later. And be mindful of these four things can help us to perfect the seven factors of enlightenment that we just discussed, the skill, the balance. And then the mind gain wisdom, understanding, and liberate the mind from attachment, stress, and depression. So this is what the Buddha say in the benefit of breathing techniques. Lao Tzu, who born in a similar period of the Buddha during that 6th century BC, say some beautiful word. A perfect person breathe as if he or she does not breathe at all. That shows very deep, very smooth, and very refined breath in order to be like that. when you sit next to your friend, I think you can tell that your friend is peaceful or not peaceful during meditation. Or you can tell that your friend falls asleep or not. Correct? When you get excited, or sleepy. So you can tell by the sound of breath that what happened to the mind. The scientists explain the ideal breathing pattern. This is what we call ideal. The breathing pattern which Lao Tzu say similar to this, very deep and smooth and very slow, only 3 breaths per minute. It's hard. It's not that easy at all. In average, you have 5 or 6 or even 8 breaths per minute. But whenever you experience something, some disease that happens in the body, the breath can be very slow. Or some disease in the body can make your breath go really fast or even turbulent. So this is the sickness of the body that can influence the breath. But we discover that it's not only the sickness of the body, even stress. The same Dr. Herbert Benson did experiment. Put a person to practice meditation and detect the oxygen consumption. Before meditation, during meditation, the oxygen consumption gone. And then after meditation, come back again. And you can see in the period, only 20 minutes. In those days, oxygen consumption may indicate about metabolism of the body. Metabolism of the body indicates that how much you burn energy. You burn a lot of energy, that means you're very active. Burn less energy seems to be relaxed. Nowadays, people use this knowledge as biofeedback. So make good use of digital age. Connect yourself to the laptop and monitor yourself. What you should think and feel peaceful. What music you should play and feel peaceful. Which one in the Facebook when you look and feel peaceful. So you can help yourself, monitor yourself, use this modern technology. But careful, someone may put virus into your computer and you need to get peaceful again. So we can go back into the natural mechanism. So this baby have short breath or deep breath? Can be really short. Now the word deep breath have to be smooth as well, because sometimes we force. This is not considered to be deep breath in this Buddhist practice. Okay, in the Buddhist practice, deep means very smooth and refined too. Short or deep? A person help an elderly lady cross the road. Kindness. Oh, Brazil lost the soccer. Deep or. So we already experienced biofeedback that we got naturally with our digital knowledge. Our breath tells our emotions. So this is summary from the breathing technique we call Anapanasati. The breath will tell the feelings and thoughts. We bring the models last time in the Dhamma talk, the relationships. So we're going to make good use of this relationship between breath, feelings, and thoughts to keep the mind in balance. There are 16 steps. Like in the winter retreat, you walk and there are 16 stepping stones. So far, we already practiced 3 of them. We know the short breath, we know the long breath or deep breath, and we experience both of them. And the practice starts here to refine the breath. So this gets involved with the breath itself. Later on, whenever the breath is so deep, smooth, we have feelings of joy, happiness and start to feel relaxed. Now we learn how to calm down our feelings, because if we are too joyful, too excited, you can't do anything. Correct? If body night going to start tomorrow or not tonight, and your friend going to perform, and you're excited, oh, I'm going to perform, and right now, calm down, oh, I'm going to go on the stage, calm down, oh, I'm going to go now in 5 seconds. Can't do anything, So this is why we need to learn to relax and calm the feelings. And that's how we start to be aware of our own thoughts. And then we are able to delight the mind, get rid of negative thoughts. And then we are able to focus on whatever we are doing. We are able to liberate our not necessarily thoughts in a certain level. Means that can't let go 100% yet. By the time the mind is able to free the mind itself from these distracting ideas. And then we proceed into the real Buddhist practice. Use a well-trained mind, calm mind, to start to reflect, to analyze things change, unstable and not self. And then, by the reason, we don't need to practice this passion. Passion, McDonald's, nowadays, many teenagers work in McDonald's. And the timing, that how much time, when you got the order, and then serve the customer, and then click. I have seen the managers like that. Click. Serve the customer. Click. Hope. Click. Correct. And then I said, if you're not passionate enough, you don't do that quick. You have to be really passionate and smiling and be happy. So this passion, that's what I mean. Coke? You want Coke? Yeah. It doesn't mean that hopeless. This passion means that fading away. After you see that so many shopping is so good, but later on you know that it's okay, it's alright. So many pairs of shoes already have. New pair of shoes is okay. I'm not that mad like before. So the word dispassion means fading away of desire or even attachment. And then disenchanted means the end. After do a lot of shoppings, after go a lot of parties, until you feel it's enough. It's enough for me. I don't need to do like that. So we call disenchanted. It's enough, the end of that desire, the end of that expectation, the end of that attachment. And that's how the mind able to let go attachment. So eventually, there is 6, 14, 15, 16 steps we don't practice at all. It happens naturally. If we practice enough of reflecting, see things change, see things so unstable and not under our control. The mind just feel naturally that it's enough. We have so much fun already. We don't need to have that kind of fun anymore. It's just enough. Like when we were little, we play with the toys. Now we grow up, we just feel dispassionate about the toys and disenchanted about that kind of toys. But now this computer game is more interesting. So we can say that dispassion, disenchant, and letting go come naturally, little by little. So we spend a few more minutes just to discuss the details, to keep the mind in balance by using the breathing technique. The slide presentation earlier showed emotional affairs, and then we can see that we already see what short breath relate to, what deep breath relate to, and we experience both of them. And that's how we start to practice to refine the breath. To refine the breath, there are many techniques to get involved. To refine the breath, in Buddhist teachings, we use the word samadhi, samatha kamathan, concentration of the mind. First, you force the mind. The mind is like the bull, very stubborn and powerful. And you go hand in hand, head on, resting, put the bull down, calm down the mind. This is for by force, direct attack. Second, put the trap. Easier. The bull got into the trap, lock on. Now you got the ox or got the bull. You can tame. So the first part is about forcing the mind into calmness. There are 40 techniques in the Buddhist book. Actually, the 40 techniques not necessarily to be called as a Buddhist techniques at all. The other 40 techniques happen all around the world before the Buddha's time. Like look at the fire, look at the water, look at the crystal ball, and feel calm and relax. Listen to the chanting, feel calm and relax. Aromatherapy, calm and relax. This happened before the time of the Buddha. Training the ox has been depicted along the Silk Road in the central part of China along Yangtze River. We call Bo Ding Shan in Dazhu. The rock that carving here can see the person train the ox. It's quite interesting that from that 12th century common era, even Dr. Suzuki, the Japanese Zen teacher, referred to this 10 ox herding picture. The mind, the stubborn mind that out of balance, swing between stress and depression, is like the black ox. And the little boy here as a trainer, who would like to train the stubborn mind. Actually, both of them represent the very same mind, our own mind, which is very stubborn. Sometimes very worried, sometimes don't want to do anything. And the very same mind who feel annoyed and would like to train this stubborn mind. So two things here represent the same thing. This is why the practice of self-development, training a mind, is very difficult. Because the same mind trains the same mind. The mind is the student, at the same time, the mind is a teacher. This is how Buddhist teachings come in, to provide the techniques we call the art of persuasion, like he hold a sweet glass and hold a stick at the same time. Years ago, I talked about chili and honey techniques, if you still remember. Sometimes we have to be sweet to the mind. It's okay, it's all right. Wake up a little bit late, it's okay, all right. Sit meditation, maybe just a few minutes, and you say, oh, it's okay, it's all right. And sometimes you know, no. One alarm clock never wake up. Put 10 alarm clocks, wake up. So this is false, the mind. So what happened? The effort, the real practice, come together with effort. Fighting between the stubborn mind and the mind who like to train it. When you feel fighting, that is a start. If you don't feel fighting, there's no practice. Fighting to against, the ox like to go to watch movies, say, no, come back here. The ox say, I like to go check my eBay. No, come back here. I like to check my Facebook. No, come back here. I like to take a sleep. No, come back here. So training happens when we say, no. When we say, yes, gone. No more meditation. So no, because we can see that being mindful, exercise, eat a healthy food, cut down that chocolate, cut down that cakes, is healthier. So the ox say, I like to eat more cakes. No. So this is a training. What happened after training? Sometimes the mind start to obey. That's why the ox start to have one part in white. The other part is still very stubborn. So the boy know that he have to watch very careful because the ox can fight back. So he put the rope into the tree. Now the further training of Vipassana meditation, we compare as a breathing techniques to happen. Eventually, the mind will blossom like the lotus. So Buddhist teaching use the lotus, symbolize the well-trained mind. Inner peace. So this is what happened in our meditation monastery in Bandung. The 16th step of breathing technique to keep the mind in balance. One thing to consider to keep the mind in balance, stay away from so much stress and depression, is arrange environment. We can see that human creatures, we are social creatures. We can't survive alone. The language happened show so clear. The language that we speak is for the benefit of communication. and really successful of communication. That's why Homo sapiens species colonized the world. Homo Neanderthals, Homo erectus all gone because they didn't have this ability to communicate. And they don't have that strong support as good friends. So we are the production of this big word, good companion, good friends. Cats and dogs can't communicate like us. So this is how we need to make good use of this DNA, our gene of survival. Stick with your good friends. Teachers consider as a good friends. Kalinamitta. What does it mean, good friends? Friends who know how to find inner peace. Good friends. Friends who put their plan, idea into actions and find inner peace. So Dharma friends, let's say, or spiritual friends, like Univats, all of you can be considered as good friends as well because you spend this Friday evening listening, practice meditation. Whereas another 1,000 students in University of New South Wales in the pub, party, casino, someplace. But you wisely analyze and select. Second is quiet place, which is not so important. If you can find quiet place, support group, conversation topics, food, weather, ventilation clothes, bodily postures. They follow when we have good friends. There's one character of good friends who love you and care about you for your own benefit of inner peace. Second, after you have good friends already, you don't want to bother your friends too much. Please wake me up in the morning, okay? And please prepare breakfast for me. And in case I forgot, please wash my clothes too. Please put into the sun. And my shoes too, please wash my shoes. We don't want to make good use of the good friends too much. So we have to prepare ourselves. And the most important thing is willpower. These four words come from the teachings the Buddha called the four qualities of accomplishment. We call itibat. Willpower, effort, concentration, focus, self-examination. They all start with the word willpower. Willing to do, intention to do, this strong desire to do, ambition. And how can this willpower can happen from this resolution? By talking about the benefits of it, like the practice of meditation, why we need to do it. Then you throw in all this beautiful information, the health benefit, blah, 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 happen to you if you practice meditation regularly. So you can see that's how all the advertising come in. Correct? If you use this lotion, you can do smile like her. If you take this vitamin, you can live long like him and still fit. So we can see all that advertising talking about benefit. Benefit, if you buy this bag that have only two words and it costs about a few $1,000, just LV, you're going to look cool. So they talk about benefit in order to inspire and kickstart our willpower to spend the money and buy it. That is how we need to talk about the benefit of calmness, relaxation, being mindful, being friendly, compassion. And what is the benefit of joining Unibuds?
Friendship.
And many, many other things. So we start, and we already did start, the practice of breathing technique. Okay. So we're supposed to stop at 9, colleague? Okay, now I have about another 200 slides. But I think that's just enough for this evening. If you have any questions. You can put this one up now. Thank you so much.
Does anybody have questions?
So before Alan come here, in conclusion, to keep the mind in balance in this way, like your friend put into the drawing, the scale, even emotions, active and relaxed at the same time. Not too active. If too active, you can't do anything. Okay? And can't be too relaxed. Joe, you name him Joe, correct? They know you, Joe? Giddy-poo. Very active. You're very active to be a president of the universe. Come on, universe, let's go. Come on, universe, more meditation. Come on, universe, more chanting. Come on, universe, every night we're meeting. Come on, universe. Slowly, slowly, all the friends gone. Too active. So you need to counteract with the other qualities of relax. Correct? And then concentrate, focus on whatever we can do. Equanimity when things going okay. Some friends don't want to sing, don't force them to sing. Some friends don't want to dance, don't force them to dance. If they do good job in them in whatever the area, just equanimity of the mind. And sometimes Giddy Hoom wake up, poor me, I should not be the president in advance. Why? I volunteer myself. Poor me. Don't want to do anything. Then that case have to think analysis, selection. Think about what the solution for the way out. And then select it. Effort. Put into action. Effort happens because willpower. Willpower because resolution, because we see the benefit of doing. We're going to make the our friends in University of New South Wales to be happy. I'm going to help some of my friends to feel really peaceful. I will support them to practice more meditation, listen to Dhamma talk. I would like them to have a good time, have fun and friendliness as well. So in, he inspires himself every morning, then he can smile. Willpower, effort, and then come into the word concentration, focus, and equanimity of the mind in order to counteract stress, but counteract depression. Then you have that analysis selection, put into effort, and the big word, joy. Being happy with ourselves. And don't forget, the most important thing is sati, mindfulness. You need to exercise mindfulness like the puppy walk on the string. If you miss it, you fall down. So that is how important that how we can maintain being mindful in that level. And the answer is breathing technique. Because we can watch the breath. Like from Bananoon to here, if we didn't fall into sleep in the car, I watched the breath. Sitting in the car, do nothing, watch the breath. Get caught in the traffic, watch the breath. I even tried to practice this afternoon, I didn't tell you. When we, after lunch, we just went to see the dolphin jump up and down. 3 monks decided, let us play with the dolphin. We just went into the water. And all the people on the beach look, freezing cold water. Only 3 crazy monks gone. And then the other people start to be inspired, jump into the water and come back freezing cold. So I try to practice too, even floating on the water, breathing in and out too. The reason that we go into, we got salty water, good for my cut my wound. So just okay, go there. Because doctors say, don't touch it. Just a little bit scratch. So we can say that breathing in and out, being mindful, can be done at any time, including Tai Chi, yoga, walking, gardening, taking a shower, drinking, eating, whatever we are able to spare the time. And it's produced mindfulness in the level that we need all the time. Yeah. Any question?
Where'd you go to stay the dolphin?
How do you call that one?
Wilson Park at Vaucluse School. Right. We didn't know they'd be there, we just went and stayed there.
They're so excited to see three monks swimming with them. Yes?
You know, when you have too much stress and you don't want to do anything, in that situation, are you too active because you're too stressful, or are you too relaxed because you don't want to do anything?
I think when we don't want to do anything, it's not stress anymore. It's feel hopeless. Stress, all so many things, oh, hopeless. I don't think I can do it. Give up. So that might swing back into depression. Don't want to do anything. Feel hopeless, feel not benefit, even to try it. So in that case, we need to uplift, put the dry wood into that small fire, analyze, select. Yes, this is something that we can do. It's not dead end yet. Then try and produce that word, joy, delightful, seeing the benefit that's going to happen. Yes?
What do you do for fun as a monk?
Oh, plenty. Even this one. Yeah. The builder is 75 years old. He go holiday next week to Europe. He dreamed for a long time. He said, this is my last trip. So yesterday is his last day to work to put the roof on the train. If you go back to Bananoon, you see the train under the roof now. And we plan for make the train really warm for your next winter retreat. So he said, Pramana, you help me go up there and put the small piece of the roof. Oh, easy. It's, ooh, we use a big machine before, no problem. This just small piece. Oh, so much fun. You know, but because it's so tight, so I have to use a screwdriver. Can't find a screwdriver. I just use his chisel and try to open the roof, but it's so slippery. Just shoo, get into past my eyes. Yeah. So it's like a waterfall. And Pama Chan Chai get shocked. They have to be. And Pama here come to see me bleeding half of the face. Cover it. Look, oh, not that bad. Went to the clinic, medical center. And because we have only the manual car, the pickup, the youth. And Lama Ken, he has only one eye too. And she said, please drive me. He said, I can't drive the manual. I said, okay, let me drive, but you come with me. So Lama Ken, the Tibetan monk, he has only one eye. You know, another eye is artificial. And I have only one eye too because this one bleeding. So two person in the car have only two eyes. So I have to drive myself to the medical center with one eye. You look that direction, okay? I have only one eye. So I have so much fun, that one. Go to the medical center. The nurse saw me. Hurry up, hurry up, emergency. Take me to see. Oh, bleeding, running. Oh, just small cut. Just kick, just laughing, make them crack the jokes. The doctor came to see me, the old doctor, who knows me many years ago. He said, oh, Prabhupada, good, long time no see. I said, good, that long time no see. I don't want to see you more often. I cracked the jaw and say, oh, I thought, you know, doctor, I'm so lucky that I have really flat nose. Because the chief said, just passed my nose. You have long nose, I got this nose gone. So the nurse fixed me and said, I told nurse, make sure that I look okay because tomorrow, tonight, I have to go talk to your univats. He said, oh, you look okay. Show you, bring the mirror. How you look? Oh, I look. Not bad. It looked like Bruce Willis after the end of Die Hard movie. So we crack a lot of jokes, and that is for me is fun.
So would you say that you always find fun in?
Pardon?
Would you say that you always find fun in almost every movement or every action that you take?
First, I thinking that fixing the train and work like that. At least I saved that old builder. If he got cut like this, he can't go holidays. Correct? Second, it better happened to me than the other junior monks, but I feel really bad. I should get, no worry, I break my fingers before, I injure my knee, and Kim sent me to hospital. I use an electrical drill, and then, what do you call, electric
short. Yeah. What do you call that word? Short circuits electrocute. Correct? What do you mean?
That's what she said.
Because it's really old drill, and the wire no good. It just gets straight into my chest. Burning here. Oh, so much fun. I just think of that movie, you know, Iron Man. They got something here. But the main point is that I make good use of my life being a monk to do something for people. Fix the roof for you all to sleep, pump the water, do all these things. Because just thinking that it's a good thing to do, to make good use of my body and time, to help people to find inner peace. That's why I feel joy. Shower the sand, mix the concrete. Oh, so much joy. At night, pain. Yeah, because you see the point of doing it. That's why we say the word joy happened before, during, and even after. So when people ask me, I say I have a lot of good time in the monastery, but also I have bad times because when things not go according to what we plan, but try to overcome it. Yes?
I've got a question about the scale. So when someone is depressed and like they might be tired, lack of energy, how do they find that dry big piece of wood when they're so tired and depressed, like to analyze and select.
Let's come with Kalyanamitta, good friends. We can't stay away from good friends. I refer to the Buddha's teachings, say good friends is needed from the beginning to the end. Teachers can be good friends. Friends like this are good friends. So whenever you feel so low or even so stressed, good friend is very helpful. And as the slide said, you don't need millions of friends. Only one. Good enough. Until we get enlightened. Until perfectly liberate the mind from all attachment. Otherwise, good friends still needed. Yes?
Ramana, I'm just curious about something. Let's say we have someone who are very kind of like a good practice of letting go, or even like maybe become a master of letting go all his like feeling emotion. How about like let's say like something like let's say anger, when anger arises, like someone say an anger but sometimes make you angry, whether like the first thing that come to like you feel the anger and then you let go, or you just like let it pass through? Because like what I believe is whether when you already let go all your stuff, hatred, anger, joy are still inside you.
Good. Because the mind is naturally, if you look, whenever the mind is free from these three words, in conclusion, anger, greed and delusion or worry. Whenever the mind is free from these negative emotions, at that moment, we feel quite relaxed and happy, peaceful, correct? So whenever these words come, the negative emotions, we feel very uncomfortable. We like to get rid of them as soon as possible. So how to get rid of them? This is what we say, the scale, the seven qualities. Like we practice mindfulness, thinking positively in order to let go. And even sometimes we know that our mindfulness is not strong, so we may need to change, like the word retreat, go for a walk, go for a swim, whatever. Can help the mind to forget temporarily. And then find a technique, like motivation, the reasons, slowly it can slowly go away. So after this, these negative emotions gone, what happened? The mind is peaceful again. When the mind is peaceful, that is what we say, we find inner peace, inner happiness, and we with joy that we are able to let go that negative emotions. So this kind of joy because of accomplished in doing something. The word joy can happen in many cases. It's not only the Dhamma practice. Even in use a negative way, a person plans to rob the bank. Successfully rob the bank, he has so much joy until the police arrest him. So the word joy comes from the word accomplishment or successful in doing something. In similar thing, that when we are able successfully remove attachment to greed, hatred, or delusion, we feel so joyful. So it comes naturally.
Also attached to joy, or we just also at the end of the day we still need to let go of the joy itself?
Good question. We can see in the 16 stepping stone the word joy, and then you can see the word calming the feelings, calm the feeling down. Because sometimes when we're too joyful, too excited, we can't operate normally. So attachment to joy is one thing too. Like when people practice meditation and feel nice feeling arises, people can attach to it. Or sometimes we do good and people always applaud you, and then people didn't do it. Then we feel something missing. So this is nice feelings need to be addressed, and then learn to calm it down, learn to let it go. See? But before we can let it go, we are make sure that we are able to produce these beautiful feelings at any time first. Why? Because it's like a backup plan. Joy and happy feelings from calming down the mind, it is to replace desire for material things. The world going to be so chaos, like Dr. Herbert Benson said, we get caught up with this digital age and technologies until the mind run around and no rest. We thought that we have this thing, if you're happy, a new version come out, this out of date, we need to have another thing. We have another thing. So we get caught up with this kind of entertainment, technology, in order to make our life peaceful and happy. So now we learn that joy and happiness can come from the other side, the quietness of the mind, the calmness of the mind. So it becomes balanced now. If we can't get that entertainment, we still can produce joy. So this is the backup plan. Actually, it's very healthy. Eventually, we should bring the balance or even to replace it. We can be peaceful and happy even though we don't have that kind of technology. It doesn't matter. So that means that we learn how to make good use of this inner joy, inner happiness. But at the same time, this is what we discussed, that Vipassana meditation happens to help us to understand joy and happy feeling is so impermanent too. So we learn to pass it and be peaceful. But again, in the retreat, last retreat, there's one gentleman. Is it all right to spend a few more minutes? There's one gentleman, he worked in the, what do you call, the health area. He said that he has some bad impression for the people who practice meditation in the retreat because it acts like Panadol. In the real life, it's not like this anymore. So it's like escape. So what is the benefit of doing like this in the weekend? Meditate like this, go back home, everything the same. I told him that what you say is not 100% accurate. Panadols never make you feel joy. Anyone feel joyful taking Panadol? Anyone feel a lot of more patience, endurance, inspiration, effort, restoration after take Panadol? Never. Panadol didn't give us that benefit, but self-development, to calm down the mind itself, need a lot of energy, effort. After we practice it, you know this quality can happen. But it has some side effect as painkiller. Yes. One day, they already did to explain people who practice meditation, take the blood and test the beta endorphin. And you can see the beta endorphin release a lot during meditation. And beta endorphin acts like painkiller because they have chemical structure like Panadol or heroin or opium, like that. So that's how people can sit for a long time without pain. Sit in one position for 1 or 2 hours and no pain because there's this endorphin release. So there is some side effect like that, but training the mind, develop the mind, it gives more than Panadol because it gives the inner strength of mindfulness, calmness, relaxation, effort, analysis, selection, all these good qualities didn't happen. And then people need to learn how to make good use of this mechanism in the retreat, in the real world. So the retreat in the monastery, we never ask people to stay for a long time. We never encourage them to lock themselves in the monastery and escape the world. But we support them go back and do the duties with more mindfulness and skill to produce calmness of mind. So this is how that is become the backup plan to find inner happiness and many other qualities to come. And surely people need to practice more wisdom than just feel calm and relax. And that is what we call observing impermanence and learn to let go.